This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Amen. All right, maybe CJ. All right. Put me on 40 minutes, not 45, just 40, so they can take 5 minutes away. All right, I'm sure we've all been blessed so far. There's been phenomenal teachings that has been going on. Phenomenal. All right, on the first session, I thought I said I will teach in my morning or afternoon sessions on the ABC of faith, even though everything has been taught, because to be very honest, everything has been taught. But, you know, repetition. I think it was Pastor Taiwo Duka I heard say many years ago, when I was in school. He says, wisdom, if you look at the original Hebrew rendering, is pound it in, which means repetition is what causes what you know to become. All right, that. So, agree, we said this, believe. And we said the thought then was confess. So I want to speak about the believing part briefly here. Pastor Andy spoke a lot about that. But let me reiterate here in terms of agree. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, Jesus is the author and the finisher. The word finisher means perfecter of our faith. So he initiates it, and then he also develops it. Or we can say it this way: take heed unto God's word as a light that shines in a dark place. That's the author there. Light shines. But it says, take heed until the day dawns. So there's a process from when the light comes on until the time where the day dawns, and it says the day star rises in your heart. Jesus said to his disciples there, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So is that in any situation you are in, like we've heard here, God has already blessed you with spiritual blessings, everything in heavenly places. Faith is not to create anything, but to download what God has provided for that situation. What God has provided for that situation will exceed in abundant measure anything you can ask or you in your own self can think. So the first thing you do is open up your doors unto God in worship. Open it up unto Him, because His doors are already opened up, all right, unto you. Now, in faith, so faith is something God initiates by speaking into our hearts things that seem impossible. In other words, what God will say to you in that situation will be impossible. No circumstantial evidence, no resources will be available in the natural to cause that particular thing to happen. In the realm of faith, possibilities or probabilities are not taken into account. The question is, has God said it? So if God tells you to build, just for example, a house worth, let's say, 200 million, and you have just 20,000 naira in your account, probabilities on the outside, circumstantial evidence, has nothing to do with faith. Faith begins with the spoken word and ends with the spoken word. In fact, whatever bought word that said, if God sees in the process of faith that the encouraging signals on the outside has caused you to take your eyes off him onto circumstantial evidence, he will take those things away. All right? If there's improvement in the condition, and that is what is now causing you to be happy, that condition there, he takes it away. That you might refocus solely on who? God. All right? So to keep your blessings, don't look on them. If God blesses you with a good job, God remains your source, not the job. Or else you are putting that job at risk. Because then it has become an idol. If in your church members, if church is growing, all right, don't put your faith in which means finances will increase because more people are coming. Ministry is financed. Are you following what I'm saying? Second thing you must know is this. Faith is not based on what somebody else told you about God. Faith is based on you hearing God yourself. Job chapter 42 and verse 5. Job said this, I heard of thee by the hearing of my ear, but now with my own eyes, I do what? I see thee. In other words, after he went through all that experience, he realized that what he was basing on was what somebody else told him. But now that he has seen God, nothing could go wrong because now he had the revelation. All right? Faith also is not even based on the amount of scriptures you can quote, but whether you have heard the voice of God. John chapter 5, verse 37. All right? I'm going to do a teaching on this, but verse 37. Now, hear what? The Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Jesus said this to those scribes. He says, you've never heard his voice at any time or seen his shape. These were guys who were scholars in the scripture. He says, you've never heard his voice. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, you believe not. Search the scriptures. Your mistake is that you think in them you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might do what? Hear my voice. In other words, when you read the scriptures, the written word of God gives you the testimony about the living word of God. You take that testimony to the living word of God to hear what the living word of God will say to you. That's what Dr. Gwely was saying about Copeland. He said, I will pray in the spirit, then we'll take a scripture. When he gets the scripture, we'll quote the scripture. And after some time, he heard how the church will come. He says, we got it. Understand this. When Paul was in a shipwreck, it wasn't Psalm 91 he quoted. Paul said, an angel stood before me and said, I cannot die without preaching to Caesar. It wasn't a scripture. He took Psalm 91 to God and heard the voice of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? When you pray the scripture, you hear what God tells you what? Clearly. So my suggestion is this. Some of you may have heard God's voice, you may have heard partially, you may need to develop it. But after Wolfbeck, lock yourself up for 3 days. So that you don't leave this place with scriptures, with your heart burning. You know, when Jesus was sharing with people, their hearts were burning, but they didn't know it was Jesus. So your heart can be burning with revelation. How was it powerful? Pastor, powerful. Pastor, powerful. Wolfbeck. But did you hear the voice of God? Only one thing is needful. What I'm trying to tell you. In all of this conference, God is only saying one thing to you. There are many messages. He's only saying what? One thing. If you've heard him in the conference, every speaker that you are listening to, you'll be hearing that same sound. So it's not about how well we can analyze the scripture. Someone came to me and said, Pastor, you know, you have many speakers, you know, I've been taking notes. This thing can be too much. I said, you don't get it. It's the voice of God you hear. Every speaker, you'll be hearing the same thing. And as you leave Warbeck, if you go and put on a television station, you will hear the same thing. Because that's what God. Take the Bible, open anywhere, you will see it there. And God will give you a season to respond. After you don't respond, the thing shuts. So what do you do? Ecclesiastes chapter 8. You stay in God's presence, spend time. That's the secret. Spend time. There's a friend of mine, you know, she's in England. They came last year, but they didn't come, two of them. They're in church in England. And they've locked themselves up in a hotel room in England. And sent the note, said, all we're doing is hearing, praying, and you get this. Wanting to hear God's word, voice. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 8 from verse 1. Who is the wise man and knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom will make his face to shine, and the boldness of his countenance shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, that in regard of the oath of God, do not be hasty to go out of his sight, nor stand in an evil thing. So don't be hasty. For he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. For where the word of the king is, there is what? Power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? When he came to meet Jesus, Satan knew what he was doing. He knew that Jesus loved Lazarus. And the Greek word there means he had that affection, which means that friendly connection. Now, Jesus had agape for everybody, but he liked Lazarus. And so what he did was that he hit Lazarus, and Lazarus was sick, and wanted Jesus to step out of timing. In John chapter 11, verse 1, you'll see this here. So, they came to meet a certain man, was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, of the town of Mary and his sister Martha. All right? And it was that Mary which anointed Jesus and wiped his feet, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou what? Lovest. In that word, love is not agape. The person you like is sick. And Jesus, when he heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. See, if you're praying about something, you went to God, and God is still not coming when you thought, he has something else. He abode 2 days and he was still. Now look at what Jesus said the next day. What did they tell Jesus? He heard that he was what? Sick. And after that, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And verse 8, disciples said, Jews sought to stone thee, you are going there again. And then Jesus said, have I not told you there are 12 hours in a day? In other words, when the day dawns, you can now move. If any man walk in the day, he will never stumble, because he seeth the light of this world. Now look how it says, verse 10. But if a man walketh in night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. Verse 11. These things I've said, all right? These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. What they told him was that he was sick. What Jesus was telling them is Lazarus has died. How did he know? In prayer, he knew. I've said this, you have to spend time in prayer until your mind gets silent, you cross over into the realm of the spirit and start hearing things. It takes time to get to that realm. Are you following me, Sadia? It takes time to get to that realm. Look, when I'm praying personally, before I hit that place which is the gusher, because my mind will be wandering when I start praying, I can be praying in the spirit and looking at things, because my spirit is pushing through on that particular thing. Young Gicho, they asked him, how did you build the largest church in the world? He said, I pray and I obey. They said, what do you mean? He said, the first hour of prayer, I'm talking to the devil. After that, I begin to talk to God. He says, whatever God tells me, he says, then I go and obey it. In other words, when you are praying in the spirit, if you practice praying in the spirit, you'll just be going and hitting. Now, if you've been praying consistently, it's easier for you to cross through. If you stop praying for 3 days, you are going to work harder to get back to that realm. The anointing to pray will win. Traveling abroad is a very costly thing spiritually for me, because when you travel here, you are in a hotel where you can't pray. Listen, I've gone to pray in a hotel before. The man came to knock. So you have to be praying not your usual tongues. You be chico, 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 chico. All right? Because the man knocked. He said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? I have it all recorded here. I'm going to do it." I said, "Oh my goodness. I have it all recorded. What sounds like?" I said, "They won't allow me in this hotel again." So every time I book a hotel, it's always corner suite where I'll check this window, window, window. But even that, when I get back to Lagos, I know the anointing has what? Wind. You know when you're praying, you know you're hitting the ceiling. Aha. You do that until you hit the gusher. And then when you get to that gusher there, that's where scriptures begin to come and God begins to speak to you there. All right? So, let's just take it. We have to move on. So, you've heard what God has to say concerning it. And let me tell you this, that's what, listen, listen, you cannot get God divine results by following somebody else's plan. Let me explain, particularly for pastors that are here. Research has shown there is no formula to church growth. If you say it is cell system, there are people running cell system, church is not growing. If you say it is outreach, there are people doing outreach, church is not growing. For every principle you say, you will find many people doing the same thing that doesn't work. How does church grow? What is God saying to you to do? Do it. All right? In fact, somebody else's method of success can be a distraction from you hearing God. Because you're so drawn to that. It could be that while you are praying, God says, "Look, go into that school there and begin to, you know, teach there and do things. Just help people." And that's where you meet people. I mean, Jesus met one woman by the well and she opened up an entire city. So you don't know who God wants you to meet. That's why the voice of God is important. Faith doesn't start with a formula. It starts by hearing God. And once I've said this yesterday, once you toil all night and catch nothing, listen, you do something, it means God has something on his heart. So Luke chapter 1 verse 45 says, "Blessed is she that believed, there shall be a performance of what? Of those things that were told her." I mean, it is so absurd for someone to see Mary as a virgin there conceived. So everybody now says we can conceive. That's almost how it sounds. Manna is individualized. Okay? Rema is for a particular person. So it says, "Blessed is she that has believed." So next thing is to believe. Like Pastor Andy was saying, to cross, you know, I heard Brother Copeland in a discussion with Dr. Bill Winston. And he said, "How did you buy that mall without having the money to do it?" Because his church, they bought an entire mall. He said, "When God told me to buy the mall," he said, "I knew I'd heard God, but I was in unbelief." He said, "In fact, the first deacon that I sent, when he got there and saw the whole thing, came back and said, 'That place is perfect for us. We'll just buy that small east wing place.'" He said, "No, God said the whole mall." The man said, "What did you say? Mall? The whole mall? We?" So you can hear God and still be in unbelief. You are not fully persuaded about what God has said. Because there are strongholds in your mind that tell you that those kinds of things cannot happen to you. The next person that came and said, "There is nobody with the color of our skin that has bought anything in that particular place. People with this color don't buy it." He said, "I'm a spirit being." You know, you have to fight the warfare there. "I'm not black, I'm a spirit being. I've heard God." So how do you move to the place there of believing? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, let us labor. There's a labor here. Therefore, to enter into that word, rest, like we heard. Lest we fall after the same example of what? Unbelief. So there's a labor to cross. So he told Brother Copeland, I had to sit with myself and move from unbelief into that particular place. All right? And let me just show something here. Okay, get that. So he had to move to that place. And the way God taught me, he said, it's like, you know, rest is when a plane takes off and gets into that place where they can switch on to autopilot and the pilot doesn't have to be holding anything again. But there's a labor phase where they must hold on to the plane there and they're taxing and they're overcoming that law of gravity. He says there's a labor phase where everything you know from your childhood says you can't get that particular place. You can't reach that height. You can't do all of it. Don't fake it if those voices are still on the inside. There are strongholds that are on the inside of you that tell you that you can't reach that place, you can't get to that particular place, you can't. And I said, unbelief is the real enemy, not the mountain on the outside. You can't do this, you can't do that. Everything in your background comes up and tells you that. Listen, who was that said yesterday? Eliab can be inside you. It was Pastor. It's inside you, not on the outside. Many Eliabs fighting on the inside. Listen, what you have never experienced in your past, you can't accept it to happen to you readily. The only things you readily accept are the things you have experienced. Any other thing? God says something new? You have to walk to get there. So how do we do this? This is what I came to show today. The word unbelief there is unpersuadableness that manifests itself in disobedience. But it's actually unpersuadableness there, which means they weren't persuaded. God told them, but they couldn't. We will complain about the children of Israel. The children of Israel, they were in unbelief, they were in unbelief, they were in unbelief, they were in unbelief. But look, these people spent 400 years in slavery. They were taught that you will never be owners of anything. They were taught they never owned anything in their lives. They were so enslaved that, listen, you know, there was a, I won't want to go into it, but there's a group of people in a particular place in the world. They told the people to come and vote for their own independence. They were shouting, when they were starting to vote, the people voted to remain in bondage. Because I hope you understand what independence is. When they were in bondage, at least they will see them cooking the food. They will know the time the food is coming. Everything, there was security with it. Now you now say, go into the wilderness. Where is the food? There's no food anywhere. Don't worry, the meal will be ready. Ready when? I grew up in a city which was an academic city. Anybody that went to Ibadan back then in the 70s or 80s went for academic reasons. Anybody that went there. So we were used to academic background, grade one, brilliant people, because it was filled with, I don't want to mention names. The whole place was filled with professors. Next to my house was the first female son in Nigeria on the right, neurosurgeons, everything. Let me tell you this. When I got to Lagos, culture shock. That you see inside a small, I don't think I've even recovered, that till now, you just enter a house, a small house, you see Mercedes, BMW, inside this place. If you see a Mercedes or BMW anybody, if you see the garden, if you see the house, they will have, you know, I said, this is a life of. So one of my classmates was telling me one time, this was telling me recently, he said, how come this person is working for these people and all of that? How come he was more brilliant than them in school? He was more brilliant than them. They were not near to. I can't even working for them. I said, you don't understand. We were academics. We weren't taught to take risks. That you step out. This one you are talking about, running a business, they can tell you, owe $100 million and you sleep and wake up and say, am I the only one that owes money in the world? We, if we owe somebody 50,000, we'll quickly pay. Not out of anything, but out of the fear that they are come and do you get what I'm saying here? So I said that boldness is not there. I said, and go and check those companies. You will see a lot of top people there, grew up in Ibadan back then, but the owners did not grow up there. So you might have things fighting you that, you know, you think is outside, is inside. Because what you are used to is lecturer grade one, lecturer grade two, senior lecturer grade one, senior lecturer grade two, associate professor, professor, assistant days, emeritus, that is the end. Salary must be paid on time, 25th of the month, that is it. Now, you are just at home. No schedule. It's a totally different world. So when they took the children of Israel and threw them out, they were shouting, we don't want bondage, we don't want bondage, we don't want bondage. Okay, no bondage, go. When they saw, where are we going to eat? They said, this is the meaning of freedom. Where is the water? Don't worry to come. Come out. Please, let's go back to where we have security. Is it to serve? We will serve them for the rest of our lives. It can be that way inside. And if you are like that inside and go and start a business, you will fail. Let me show you what I'm saying. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 1, quickly. It says, quickly, verse 5. It says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be what? Fully persuaded in his mind. All right? And so let him eat. Now go to verse 23, I believe. Fully persuaded in his mind. He that doubted is damned if he eats. In other words, he may be eating but have doubt. Do you get what I say here? The fact that you are eating doesn't mean you are in faith. The fact that I go and start a business doesn't mean I can be there shaking. Say, why did you start the business? When they kicked me out of where I am, man must eat. Do you get what I'm saying here? So what's the label? Quickly, Romans chapter 10, verse 16. So this is what you do. As Pastor Andy said, obedience starts with the mind. That's the first place. That's why he says you must be fully persuaded in your mind. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has what? Believed our report. In other words, we preached it, but we know they didn't believe because they didn't do what? Obey it. So the next thing that Paul now says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I heard Dr. Fred Price say this once on faith. I agreed with what he said in my spirit. But, you know, but the more I agreed, I said, what he said, it sounded that that's it. He said, when he says faith cometh by hearing and hearing, all right, by the word of God. He went on and says, look, that hearing comes as a result of you speaking the word. It's correct. Let me show you why. You know, he says, have they all believed? Says so. He said, because they didn't all do what? Obey. Now, what's the key to obedience? James chapter 3 and verse 2. You'll see how you obey. In many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. Now look at what he says. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may do what? Obey us. That's why the word of faith says, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word you hear that you don't put on your lips, there's no chance of you obeying it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the message of faith. What's the message of faith? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that you may do what? Do it. In fact, then bring out, because that's a direct quotation from the Old Testament. If I bring out in Deuteronomy, he says, it is not in heaven nor beneath. But he goes on and tells us, he says, the word is nigh thee in thy mouth. When he wrote the law, he says that you may do it. In other words, anything you are going to do, all right, has to be on your lips. Let me pull out that scripture in Deuteronomy there. So, What happens the next step is what God has told you, place it on your lips. And begin to declare it if you are going to obey it. And how do you start declaring it? You start calling it into existence as though it were. You start speaking about what God has shown you as though that particular thing. So if God gives you a revelation of love, you don't try to go and walk in that revelation. You start by confessing that revelation as though it is already in existence in your life. If you have a problem with unforgiveness, you'll take the word unforgiveness. Don't go and try to do it, all right? Or else you'll fall short. But you start confessing it. And then you begin to declare the very person that you know you are upset with. Put the person's name in the confession. Let's say the person's name is, so we don't call anybody. Now this is global, so what name can we get that nobody? Draku Tata. So Draku Tata betrayed you. So you put it on your lips. I am patient and kind towards Draku Tata. When I see Draku Tata, love whelps on the inside of me. Any opportunity I have, I reach. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's the only chance you have. Once that word gets into your heart, let me tell you what happened. When you see Draku Tata, you will have forgotten what happened. Draku Tata, how are you? Then he looks, yeah, because you have entered into rest. That word has taken over. Do you get what I'm saying here? That's the labor to enter rest. Once you enter into rest, you cease from your own works. God carries it on. You are no longer moving the plane. The plane is the one carrying you. You are no longer trying to fulfill the word of God. The word of God is the one. Are you following what I'm saying here? But you have to do that labor. You have to be saying it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now I say, well, Pastor, I've forgiven Dracula, but it's hard for me to say I've forgiven. You haven't forgiven. So he says, we put beads in horses' mouths that they may obey us. There's no chance of you having anything enter into your heart if it doesn't get on your own lips. There's no chance. So you have to start confessing it. You have to start declaring it. You have to, all right? You can't find the scripture. You have to start saying it out. All right? That's it. This is the commandment which it came out from the Old Testament, what Paul was saying, the core of word of faith. Is it? This is the commandment which I commanded this day. It is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up to heaven? You know this is what Paul quoted. Who shall hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea. Thou shalt say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it, thou may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest what? Do it. That's the key. Even under the law, he put it there. That's why the Bible says the law and the prophets witness to the righteousness of God. If you really understand what Moses was saying, he was speaking about the righteousness of faith. So to arrive there, so everything, you know, let me just share this here. Let me just say this here. There's a gentleman in church. We just started church then. And I heard somebody else say it. And the person said to me, I said, so how did you get this breakthrough? He said, you did a teaching on finance, he said, and I listened to it. Every point where I got a revelation, I wrote it. Revelation, I wrote it. Revelation, I wrote it. Revelation, I wrote it. He said, let's just say the three insights I received, he said, I now made it my personal confession. He said, I started confessing those insights. Which means from all the message here, it's not the ability to diagnose what the message is saying or analyze or say. No. He says, just those things. He said, I put on my lips. He said, I didn't know when those experiences started coming into my life. So we put beads in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about. Now, naturally speaking, when the rider there puts bits in the horse's mouth and puts it there on the reins there. What he's doing and gets this, you know, when he does this and turns, the rider is communicating to the horse the direction in which he should go. Once you start confessing God's word, Jesus starts communicating to you. Once you begin to speak, let's assume that God has revealed to a person he doesn't have any money, no finances. You're going to build, this is an example, this house of 100 million. He starts declaring it. A communication starts between the Holy Spirit and that person on the steps to take to get to that particular place. This is why when people say, I just confess, I confess, they think that confession is magic. They don't understand it's a process. So as you begin to confess the word and confess, you know, when I was in school, I told the president of fellowship, Kenneth Hagin had a book that taught in him, and there were 144 scriptures on who were in Christ. I told the president of fellowship, I said, you know what I found out? He said, what? I said, if we repeatedly confess this in him things before we go and pray, our prayers are more effective. He said, eh. He said, tell me the scriptures. I said, confess. I would just first say, he too was confessing. He now called the mentor. He said, this man almost outdid me in him and in Christ's confession. He was called. I had to show that I was present there. But I realized that when you confess the word of God before prayer, prayer is more effective. That's why he says, hold fast your confession. Then he says, let us come up to the throne of what? Grace. Because when you go to pray, is what he has heard you say he's going to answer. So have your confession there of God's word. Psalm 16 and verse 7. And let me show the communication here once you start. It says, my reins shall instruct me. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me. Please, give me my 5 minutes back, please. I'm all humble again. Give me my 5 minutes back. Give me my 5 minutes back, please. My rain shall do what? Instruct me in the what? Night season. Now, how do your rains instruct you in the night season? This is where you're not having communion here. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 16. Look at what it says here. It says, look, Proverbs 23, 16. It says, yea, my rain shall rejoice when thy lips speak what? Right things. So once you start saying the right things, that part of your being, all right, comes into it. So first thing, get God's word on your lips and start declaring it, calling it to existence as though it were. The reason why you are saying it is not to create it, but to hear it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Okay. This is the first stage. You are saying it, so it gets into your heart. That's why when the Bible speaks on meditation, it always talks about voicing it first. This book of the law shall not do what? Depart out of your mouth. But thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, that you might observe to do according to that which is written. For then shall you make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. And this way, but I can't get to it, finish it today. But the whole purpose of meditation is to know what to do. That's the whole purpose of meditation. In other words, when Jesus knew what he will do, what? Do. When Copeland there was saying, we're praying and we quote the scripture, we quote the scripture, that's meditational prayer. He got to a point where he knew what he will do, what? Do. And once you know what to do, Psalm 1 tells us, verse 3, blessed is the man, all right, whose delight is in the law, all right, verse 2. It says, and on this law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water there. It says, he shall bring forth its fruit in season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, what doeth, shall prosper. In other words, he has observed on the inside, he has seen it. This is how this particular thing will come to pass. So Jesus already, while he was in that meditation, knew this is how we're going to feed the multitudes. What I'm going to do is that once we get there, I will ask them, go into the crowd, find anybody who has food there. Once the person finds, bring the person here, and you'll do that. Simple. And if you meditate on God's word, you'll find out the solution is never on the outside. I've said this to pastors, ministers. inviting an external minister will not grow your church. You grow your church by unlocking the capital that is inside that church. Inviting extra, I've said this here. You can do celebrity and all that. It won't increase anything. External ministers, what they come to do is different. And in fact, this kind of conference can only be of benefit to you if you, the pastor, have already been teaching along the lines they come to teach. Are you following what I'm saying? If you and the minister are here, you and the congregation are hearing the revelation for the first time, and you have not laid the foundation already, nobody can do your work for you. So let me close here. So you start. So the purpose is to hear. Which means the reason why you are saying it is because you've got to hear. I mean, I've taught this before. It's a very powerful concept. One time, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says when she heard of Jesus, she kept saying to herself, if I would just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And the reason why she had to say that, and I'll show this, is because many people were touching his garment and they weren't getting healed. And as she was going to Jesus, she saw people that were sick. How do we know? Because Peter, when Jesus said, somebody has touched me, Peter said, what are you saying? Can't you see all the people thronging on you? Even Peter did not know. I'm trying to tell you this here. We, the preachers, can preach things to you. If you take what we preach and you start confessing it to yourself, God will say things to you we didn't preach. When you are telling us that it's your preaching that made it happen and you are sharing, we will be getting insights. In fact, somebody went took me somewhere recently and showed me what you're preaching. He said, look at what your preaching has done. I concluded that I must start listening to myself now. I said, all this. He said, Pastor, we're doing this, doing this, doing this. And he showed me big banner. There, this will increase, this will multiply. I said, these things you are talking about, is not $100 million that you are handling. Serious money. He said, you're teaching. I said, maybe I taught it once, and then you took it. You get what I'm saying here? You heard it, and then you are saying it over and over and over. All right. So let me just close with the last one here. So meditation here says, and I continue, so have it on your lips. So this conference, let me say it again, the way to do it, right? Thy words were found and I did eat them. The way you eat is through your mouth also. You are putting it on the inside of you. Okay? And once you start hearing, the woman with the issue of blood, as she was going there, she was hearing. And the reason is because people were touching, nothing was happening. And she was saying to herself, because that was her initial revelation. And when you get revelation, it's warfare. Because everything you see with your eyes will tell you that thing you heard will not happen. You better have it on your lips or Satan will take it away from you. Everything you see with your eyes, you will put on the television, they will announce something. What they will announce there, they are saying their news, JJ, but what that news is an arrow to what you just heard. They diagnose something, you just put on the television and say, five people died yesterday of, oh my goodness. And be careful who you tell. Have a community of faith, but don't go outside that community of faith. Because people will come and meet you and tell you, so what about this thing that you said is wrong with you? What? How far? You get what I'm saying? So she kept saying it. And the reason why she kept saying it, I'm going to explain this way. A doctor told me, he said, look, you hear with your outer ear. Your inner ear is for balance. And when he said that to me, I said, that's it. Because the only time you hear yourself with your inner ear is when you speak. When any other person speaks to you, it's with your outer ear you hear. When you talk, that's why if you record your voice and you play it back, you sound different. Because when you are playing it back, you are hearing with your outer ear. When you speak, You are hearing with your what? Inner ear. Your inner ear affects your walk. Your outer ear is your hearing. So if somebody says you will fail in this thing you are doing. So long as you don't tell somebody else, can you imagine so-and-so told me I will fail? Once you say so-and-so told me I will fail, that failure enters your walk. Don't ever tell anybody. Oh, they said, you got me told. Can you imagine this is what they were saying about me? Listen, there's a friend of mine. She sent me something. I saw something on Twitter. I wonder, in your life, don't come and meet me and say you saw anything on social media about Copeland. Warned his staff. Warned them. Don't ever come and say anything. Because once you repeat it to yourself, it enters into your system. And I found out in school, let me tell you this. When I was in school, I found that truth. I stumbled on it. When I was president of fellowship, when we finally left the fellowship and everything, one day I saw somebody this. So I called somebody. This was years later. I said, wait a minute. Was this person doing this when we were on campus? The person said, you didn't know all this while. You didn't know. That's what the person was doing. I said, yeah, and I never knew. And I thank God I never knew. You see, it didn't affect anything we were doing. But when you know, it enters into your heart. Are you following what I'm saying here? It enters into your heart. So she kept saying it. So when people touched them, she said to herself, if I will touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. They may touch and it may not work for them, but it will work for me. Are you following what I'm saying? If I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She kept saying it until she touched. And that's the warfare you are going to have to fight. Because everything around will be screaming that it will not work. But you have to be putting it into your inner ear consistently. Consistently. Because touching the hem of his garment is like prayer. The day you go to pray, that's the day of judgment. Every idle word you speak will be counted against you. If you have been saying it will not work, it will not work, it will not work. I read a friend, she was on Facebook during COVID. She said, I told everybody that, listen, because of the condition inside my body, I must not get this COVID. If I get it, I will die straight. Said, I told all my children, come from America, everything. We locked the doors, locked everything. Nobody is going out. Unfortunately, you know, one of the children brought the COVID from America. So the thing entered the house. The whole family got it. She said, as they were moving us back, it was new early days of COVID, moving us to the what they call it, the center, moving all of us. She said, as they came to carry all of us, I knelt down before God and I knew I would not come back alive if I don't do this. She said, Father, forgive me for all the words I have spoken. She said, I have said, God, I renounce all of those words before we come. Do you get what we say here? She was saying it jokingly, but those things were getting on the inside. And let me tell you what it does. It affects your heart. When you start praying, you can't generate the faith to make the connection. Because those words have entered into you. So when you start praying, you can be saying, blah, blah, him, blah, 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 blah. And look, I won't go beyond this, but you have to cleanse yourself from failure. Why did the church pray for Peter and they were in total doubt? The church was a church of power. They had prayed things. Why? Because James was killed. Once James was killed, the seed was sown on the inside. That this prayer thing you are saying, maybe. So when they started praying, James was more high ranking than Peter in church at Jerusalem. He has gone. This one too has gone. So what they were looking at was the funeral service of Peter. Magadabu, Indrasha, Legretoso, Abba. They say, why? They says, look. So if you have had failure in the past, cleanse yourself from that failure. How do you cleanse yourself from that failure? Peter, Paul, that was killing people, said, I've wronged no man. A friend of mine told me, said, I did what they said I did, but I'm not who they say I am. He said, I have wronged no man. You, said, I've wronged no man. I have offended no man. God, you have to be saying it. How did I stop smoking? I was confessing. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. But the desire to smoke was stronger than what was going on. So I realized this was the breakthrough. Because when I smoke, I feel guilty. So one day I just took the cigarette. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. and all things have become new. Go and try what I'm saying. I will close here. Kenneth Hagin said once, he was trying to cast out a devil. He just said, say Jesus. He said, Jesus, the devil will manifest. He would say, say Jesus, the devil will manifest. He said, why are you saying this? He said, you can only cast it out when it's in operation. Confess the word of God when that thing is in operation. You see, what we do is that we confess it when the desire to smoke is not there. When the desire comes, we go and smoke, then wait for the desire to go and be confessing. No, when the desire comes, put in the sword there. It's a sword of the spirit. Cut the head of that devil at that point. When you confess the word of God, when you are depressed about what is going on, confess yourself into a place of joy. Not that after, don't go and eat it away, sleep it away, go and watch a movie and do all of that. That spirit is in operation then. It has brought its head out, cut its head off with the word of God. You confess out of season to practice for when it shows up. Do you get what I'm saying here? So you are firing fire. We are waiting for you to show up. Once it shows up, bring it out. Cleanse yourself. You will see that you weaken that spirit. I did it for a week. One day I woke up. I realized that 3 days had gone with no desire to smoke. Do you get what I'm saying? Anytime you see the image of the bill, the creditors are coming for you in 3 weeks' time. And it shows. That is when that spirit is in operation. Declare. God is my ever-present help in a time of need. Are you following what I'm saying here? Declare it until that image disappears. The spirit has gone. It has lost. It will come back again at a more opportune time. When you are weak, wake it up. Say it. Park your car. Say it at that moment. Move from sorrow to joy there. Move again from sorrow to joy. Move from a place of depression. Do you get what I'm saying? If you are pastoring a church, you pray. You go to the church, you saw that we will be 250. You are 25. After that message, because you are bleeding inside as you are preaching. I've been a part, I know what's happening. Everybody's saying your message was powerful, but you feel like a failure. You are bleeding throughout. Jesus loves you, but you are in your heart. Me and God, Jesus loves you. All right. And then once it's over, don't go home and eat rice and forget about it, because you'll meet it that way again next week. Fight that battle 15 minutes after. When everybody has gone, lock the door and start declaring. This church stands as 1,000 people. We had a wonderful service. Do you get what I'm saying here? Everybody came in. We are breaking the walls. Do you get what I'm saying here? Kill that seed. The next week, what will happen? It will still be, it will go from 25 to 21. Say it again. Then the next week, what will happen? Satan will move it again to 18. Say it again. Do you get what I'm saying? After some time, let me tell you what will happen. It will be 12, but you'll be preaching as though you are talking to 1,000 people. The physical thing you are seeing will no longer change your mood. You have entered rest. Catch the spirit when it is in operation. God bless you. We'll see ourselves in another time. Amen. So we'll be back at... what did I say? 30 minutes, Abby?
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.